Hello there, Foster Brown, welcoming you to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. And that is the one where traditionally Gary Baker and I and our tech experts have been waiting here to answer your questions. So it works when you call with your questions about your computer. It might be about your email. It might be about installing that darn Windows 10 update. Whatever it may be, here's the number, 800-859-0957. Lines are open right now. Give us a call right away, and we'll get to answering your question. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Thanks to Mike Stetz and Logan Standifer, who are our team behind the glass waiting to talk with you. And that number that you call in to get your question on the air this afternoon is 800-859-0957. So if you're listening in suburban Cleveland or maybe down someplace in Indiana or up in Michigan, anywhere you may be within the sound of our voices here at WJR 760 AM, the flagship station for the Internet Advisor, please feel free to give us a call right now at 800-859-0957. That's our toll-free number. Ed Verdell's standing by. He's got all sorts of answers. And as a matter of fact, you've been answering during this week.
I've answered a few emails. It really slows down in the summertime.
Oh,
and I'm going to be on vacation. So while I'm on the beach, I do write emails. So.
He does. He does write emails. But right now, catch him before he puts his sunscreen on and heads out to studios, okay? The number again is 800-859-0957. And by the way, we say this all the time, but it is serious. Call early because near the end of the program, we run out of time. We don't have the time to answer the question and get more background on your question in order to be able to answer accurately. So the earlier you chime in with your question, the better it is for you because we won't be able to take the time to get all the details we need in order to be able to give you some answers and make sure that other people who are listening do that too. If you're driving by or you maybe just bumped into this program, we're here from 4 until 6 every Saturday afternoon called the Internet Advisor. Gary Baker, my co-host, I'm Foster Brown, and Ed Riddell is here today. Cal Carson off. But hey, there's a Prime Day coming up.
Yeah. Well, second annual. First one wasn't so good. But what it is anybody that has Amazon Prime, they say that this year there are now over 100,000 deals and that those deals rival the deals that you would get on Black Friday just before the Christmas shopping season.
So what is an Amazon Prime, Ed? What's a Prime
Prime membership, you get free 2-day shipping, you get Amazon Video, and
99 bucks a year.
Right. It's been, I get my money out of worth
oh,
out
easy.
Of it
oh, easy.
Every year.
And it's great for parents that have kids at college, where my son says, I'm running out of food, I just mail him a case of Clif Bars or something like that, and then a gross of toilet paper, stuff like that.
The essentials, in other words.
It works great for parents with kids in college. I don't have to drive out there. There you go.
Good point. Well, it's supposed to be better this year. We'll wait and see. I heard Rick Broida quoted.
Oh, yeah, our cheapskate.
Our cheapskate guy. And basically, he said, you know what? There are Black Friday-like deals anywhere on the net any given day of the year. But this is 100,000 of those deals, and they're all in one place, and you just go to Amazon Prime, but only if you have a Prime membership. So look around, and if it looks like you're going to get a chunk of money back by buying something that they have on sale, go get a Prime membership if you don't have one.
Yeah.
And it's this Monday, July 12th.
July 12th, right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So... I wonder if there's a way of shopping beforehand. Probably not. It's not like there's flyers like
you can.
Yes,
you can. Well, I tell you what you can do. You can go into your wish list. Create, into your...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have a continuing wish list.
So do I. Yeah.
And then from that wish list, you can check and see if there's something in there that you want. We've been looking for a small vacuum cleaner, and I found one for an incredible price.
You got a dog?
Yes. Yes, a little white dog who sheds. That thing sheds its body weight, I think.
Oh, no, I meant the dog is the vacuum cleaner. That's what I meant.
Yes and yes.
Okay. Well, the one thing, though, it's not, like Gary said, it's on 100,000 items. So if I'm looking for my Pontiac Vibe AC compressor clutch kit, I don't think I'm going to find that on there.
Probably not.
It's $129 on Amazon right now. I've been waiting for it to go down.
That sounds like a deal, anyway.
It is.
But anyway, yes. So, and it's Tuesday the 12th.
Oh, Tuesday. Yep. Okay, thank
Tuesday
you, Gary.
The Tuesday the 12th. And my thought, Gary, is that it will be a hit It's designed primarily for Prime users. And that I think what they're going to do is look at the data of what Prime users have been buying and then put a nice value on those items in order to stimulate that. And also to have other people look and say, gee, if the Prime users are getting that kind of a deal and it only costs me $99 a year, I'll take a membership on.
You know, and most smart TVs come with Amazon Prime already installed on the smart TV. So on my smart TV, I could just click on it. You have Netflix on there. I can use Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. I can integrate it with my Xbox 360 or Xbox. What's the new one? The new
Xbox One.
Xbox One.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I could stream games. So my daughter loves playing her games on a 60-inch TV, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Wirelessly.
And we probably get our money back just in movies.
Yes. Right.
Yes, absolutely. And a wonderful selection. And this is happening more and more. What I find is that both Netflix and Amazon are having original movies.
Original content, yes.
Original content that is outstanding. First-rate film, first-rate acting. It's, not a hack. Jenny loves watching, my wife loves watching the Hallmark Channel. Those scripts are so predictable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of, repeating. Occasionally they have
heartstrings.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, or mysteries now are getting a little better. Okay, but
they're
the nice
not
thing
just
about
chick flicks.
Yeah, exactly. Not just the Amazon videos that are out there are astounding.
And when my wife was going through the chemo and the recovery and stuff like that, she watched a lot of movies.
Yes,
and so, but it's summertime now, so we're watching Tigers, and we stay in the deck. I've repainted the doors, so I'm not too much TV now, but I'll. Come fall and winter, I'll be watching Amazon Prime again.
So. All right, folks, listen, we don't want to take up a lot of time talking about us and what we're doing here and things in the news. If you've got a question to ask, butt in. Call 800-859-0957 right now. And remember, our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. You have a unique opportunity here. It's been going on for 18 years to ask a question on a Saturday afternoon to some very smart people who have had their hands on technology for many, many years and see if we can get some help for you. Don't feel that you're too dumb and or the question is. Give us a call. Standing by, waiting for your calls at 800-859-0957. It's the lazy, hazy days of summer, and we often experience this. People are out there kind of thinking, this hammock's so nice, the lemonade's so nice. Go ahead. Get your phone out. Give us a call, 800-859-0957. We have about 40 minutes left, and I'd love to take some calls and get some answers for you. And again, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. It helps lots of people when you ask these questions. And by the way, just a quick reminder for you folks, we're going to do this every week until it happens. July the 29th is the deadline. That's the last time you will be able to download Windows 10 from Microsoft free. After that, the cost goes up to $119.99. That's $119.99 it will cost you after that.
Well, that's not exactly true. So you could download Windows 10 anytime, and you get a free 30 days.
Okay.
But then within that 30 days, you do have to pay and register.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if you don't download it before the 29th, you don't get it free. You can get it free for 30 days, and then you'll have to pay. But if you do it before the 29th of July, you get it free forever.
Right.
And this is the last version of the operating system that Microsoft will put out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to upgrade this one from now on.
Right. Exactly. Right?
So
excuse me.
So you will end up with this version at some point. You'll just pay for it if you wait.
You know, that's a very good point, folks. You're not dodging the bullet and forever with Microsoft on this.
Right.
Eventually you're gonna have to face the fact that your Vista or Windows XP or whatever that's been faithful to you or Windows 7 will eventually be cycled out. As it stands right now, I don't think they're servicing Vista anymore. XP for sure
XP's
is gone.
Not. I don't know when Vista's support
ends. Is Vista still being serviced?
I think it is.
Yeah, Vista's still being serviced. Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know when the deadline is to when they stop servicing them.
Okay.
Should have been a long time ago, but it's not.
Exactly. Anyway. But the reality of it is, and I know we get called on this because people have had problems with the install and they've had problems with software that doesn't work as well as it should on it. You might as well do it. Because if you're going to stick with Microsoft and that platform, and it's going to be the one that services up a billion or more computers around the world in enterprise and homes, You're going to upgrade now because there are so many improvements that Windows 10 makes. All right, let's head out to Paul, who's listening to us on our podcast. Welcome to Paul. How you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Good, good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing very well, sir. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a friend who has a Mac laptop, probably 4 or 5 years old.
Okay.
And she had a relative send a video via Dropbox mm-hmm. to her. Mm-hmm. And so she clicked on the thing to pick it up and got absolutely nothing. So I was over there and I said, well, okay, well, let's see what we can do. And I know nothing about Dropbox, but anyhow, went to Dropbox site and downloaded Dropbox, installed it. And so now we get the beach ball spinning and spinning and can't play the video.
Hmm. What version of Microsoft's operating system are you working with on that laptop?
I'm not entirely sure.
One of the later ones?
Seems like Snow Leopard, maybe 10 point something or other.
Yeah, he did say it was a Mac, not a Windows system.
I know, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, I have a Mac system, but I'm using the latest, of the El Capitan, the latest of the installs. I have Dropbox, and I have it online. And as you said, when you download it to your computer, all it does is it puts a folder on your computer so you can simply take data, files and drag them into that box on
right.
your computer, and it syncs up then with the internet. I've used it as a way of transferring files, large files, to people, and I can't remember, though, whether I have tried to use any movies. So your problem, or his problem right now, is that they cannot run the movies that they have on that Dropbox?
Yeah, a relative out of state wanting to share something, so they put it in Dropbox and emailed her the link. And,
yep, that's the way it works.
On it and, yeah.
Now,
clicked on it, and it's just spinning and spinning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now, would you know what type of media format that is? Is it a QuickTime movie? Is it an MP4? Do you know?
I believe it said MP4 on it.
Okay, so natively, that operating system should be able to play that.
QuickTime should play it.
Yeah. So, but what are there alternate video players that you've used on your Mac that they could potentially try, like VLC?
VLC is one, yeah.
VLC Media Player that you can download for free. Mm-hmm. It works on PC or Mac, and it plays most video formats. It's one of the philosophies we use. You know, instead of using, you could probably use iMovie on your PC, on your Mac to play it, but you can also use the VLC Media Player.
Yep.
Right. So having more than one program to play video content or browser to browse the internet is usually always a good idea.
The other thing I'm thinking of, Paul, is that you may have, in order to get that file from the Dropbox, I know when you go up to it and you click share, for instance, let's say you've got the movie file in the Dropbox, right? Okay.
It appears to be. You've got the little triangle that you click on to play it.
Well, what I'm saying is you go online to Dropbox, to their account. Am I right? They can go onto their account online.
So you use a web browser and you navigate to the Dropbox, or you use the application to go to the Dropbox. Right.
It would be like Dropbox.com, whatever their entry was, right? Okay.
Okay.
And then they should, when they're on there, be able to see that movie file. And then you'll see when she clicks on it that there is to the right a button that says share. And when you click on share, it gives you various ways of sharing it. And I think one of them is to send a link. And it may be that the link that was sent to you is damaged, I'm guessing, so that the link that was sent to you or anybody else to download is damaged. And I would go back up and try to do it again.
It could be damaged because it was changed. So they sent them the link, then they maybe renamed the file or the movie to make it a little more easy to read, like this is the video with this file name. And they, if they changed the file name, then the link they sent you was invalid.
Yeah.
So one way to test this, obviously, is then turn around and send that link to a box you know will work and see if you can play it on that box,
mm-hmm.
right? See if that, so that way you can test to see if the link goes to the right place.
We're guessing that the problem is in the link on Dropbox and in the naming of the file on Dropbox,
right.
Not necessarily on that Apple computer. Because if it has a MP4 ending or .mov, it should play simply and natively in QuickPlayer, at QuickTime.
Mm-hmm. Well, at one point it did say cannot open QuickTime.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh,
then it sound... Go ahead.
If it said it couldn't open QuickTime or couldn't open the movie?
Couldn't open QuickTime.
So you got a problem with QuickTime.
Okay, that's yeah. Then the other thing, we're kind of going around doing a little diagnostic work on which one of the pieces of software are the ones that are the choke points, and that might be then that...
And so one way,
VLC?
One way to deal with that is to uninstall QuickTime and reinstall it. Uninstall, power down, power back up, power back down for the second time, and then power up and then reinstall. And the reason we say that, especially for something like this, you know, it's supposed to, again, be able to take all remnants of QuickTime and then delete those, uninstall them. The problem is that if there happens to be a file that's being used because it starts up in your startup menu or something like that, you have to then close down. And then when you start up again, it'll take and erase those because it can't start up because the rest of QuickTime isn't there. So that's why we say clear it out for sure and then go back and reinstall.
You can reinstall it by going to, you know, support.apple.com, and then Apple provides the QuickTime product, and you can search support.apple.com and then search for QuickTime player.
And just download it.
Download it.
Or the other thing would be to try the VLC player. I have it on my computer, my Mac, and use it just as an alternate, the way we talk about using alternate browsers. Right. Okay, Paul? By the way, send your question to us via email on our contact form, and Cal will take a look at that during the week as well. Back in just a moment with more of your questions at 800-859-0957. Pam in Portland. Thank you so much for joining us on our program. And by the way, don't forget the podcast is published, generally speaking, on Sunday nights. I chuckle a bit because this last week with my being in the cone of silence where we were camping, we were not able to get the files to even be able to edit them. And when I finally did get them, it was Wednesday before I could edit them and get them up online. But the podcast did get published, and generally speaking, it's up there on Sunday nights. Again, our number right now, 800-859-0957. Call us now and get some help right away, like Pam from Portland. Pam, welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Hello. I've been thinking about downloading Windows 10. Okay. I have Windows 7 now, and I know you're supposed to back up your files before you try that. So I have an external hard drive, WD My Passport.
Good.
And I thought all along that everything was just automatically backing up. But I went into it by G, you know, on your computer, the My Passport G file.
Yeah.
And when I look in there, there's nothing from 2016 in there. The latest files are from November of 2015.
I see. Okay. Ed?
Well, what program are you using the Passport software to actually back up your data? And I imagine you are, the software that came shipped on your Western Digital external drive.
Once I plugged it in, I thought that's all I had to do. And there's even stuff saved on here from before I got the Passport, from 2012. I don't know how that stuff got on there.
So when you're looking at your Passport, do you actually see a replica of all your data? Do you actually see a My Documents folder, my pictures, my videos? Do you actually see that folder structure?
Yeah, there's all those files.
Yeah. You should see in the root... And do you have a Western Digital program or a Passport program that you can click on that just says backup now, backup my data now? It should be on your taskbar, or it should be into programs files.
I have an icon on the desktop that says my
Passport?
Passport, but when I click on it, it just says edit security settings. edit settings, enter your password.
Yeah, you may have to reload the software,
I think so.
Right. And that's usually on the root, if you will, or on the passport itself. You should have a setup folder in there that you can reset up again. And you might want to reinstall that software. If you can't locate it on the external drive, you may have to go to Western Digital's website and locate their passport, backup software, download it from their website and run it again, because that's one thing you want, and you have to become familiar with it. That software should be kicking off every day or mm-hmm. every night, and you should be familiar with the interface so that you know how to, manually back up, how to confirm what files are backed up, and that would all be in the user manual that was shipped with the unit, or in the instructions that was shipped with our drive.
Do you have any of those instructions around, Pam?
No, they're online.
Yeah, they're all electronic.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm gonna.
But you might want to look at YouTube videos and see if Western Digital or maybe a general user out there has created how to use Western Digital's My Passport.
Yep.
And that would probably help you a lot.
Let's. I'm going to suggest that, Pam, because we're at kind of a basic place here, and I don't want to take the time from some of the other people who are waiting, because it'll take quite a while to explain it all. But what Ed said right now is so true. Go online to YouTube and try to find, and sometimes you can just simply ask the simple question: how do I back up my Western Digital passport?
Or how to use Western Digital Passport.
And you'll find a YouTube video that will explain the whole thing to you, Pam. Otherwise, what I would suggest you do then is, if you have any further questions, hit that contact button on our homepage and send us an email, and we'll do our best to take a little more time with you later on, okay?
Yep.
Thanks so much,
Pam.
Right.
And I did find a dozen videos.
There you go. So there's a dozen videos out there to help you. And that is the good news, folks, by the way, with YouTube. It's so helpful, whether you're trying to fix a car or a hard drive.
And I really do like thumbing through some manuals. Yep. There's nothing like the feel of paper, and you can flip back and forth. And sometimes the electronic, Gary's probably going to roll his eyes. But
it is hard to sometimes search. So sometimes paper does work better.
It does, especially when you're on a lounge chair on a beach. But the benefit of electronic is that you can actually search a document. And you said that key word, search. Electronic documents are great for that.
That's excellent. Yeah,
there's room for both.
It's interesting. In the course of the time we've been doing this, Gary, but more and more YouTube has become a key place. They certainly have played bigger with theirs. Okay.
And it's because people... all contribute. It's not just
exactly.
YouTube.
Ed has said if he has to listen to another pimply teenager describing something to him about...
It was pimply-faced teenager.
God bless them. They know what's going on. Okay, 800-859-0957, our number. Frank and Livonia, how you doing, and how may we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Hello, gents. A couple years ago, I installed a utility, one of those... do everything, be all everything utilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe it was from IOBIT, and I think it was their advanced system care.
Yeah, sure.
Well, right after that, before that, I was always in the habit of putting my PC into hibernate mode, and next time I got back, I just push a key and it'd wake right up. But after installing those utilities, it wouldn't wake up anymore.
Is this
so I had to
PC
do a cold reboot.
With PC or Mac?
PC.
Yeah, I'm just not familiar with that software.
As I get older, that's a problem that I have once in a while.
You just can't get it.
I'll take more naps.
Yeah.
Okay. What were the what was the software supposed to do for you? Was it supposed to like check for disk errors, defrag?
Yeah, right.
Scan your system registry
and brush your teeth if you kept your mouth open.
Well, I'm just guessing. I mean, there are a lot of them out there, and some of them were good. For Windows XP, Vista.
Oh, yeah.
But not so much with Windows 7 and Windows 10.
So you said it was
IOBIT.
IOBIT. Advanced System Care.
Do you know if you can take and get a newer version of that?
It's tainted my confidence in that program.
You can uninstall. Have you tried uninstalling it?
So here's the reason
I believe I have.
Okay.
The reason that I suggested is that you might install, they might have a fix. This might have been a known problem, and they have a fix for it. and you go in and you get the newest version and it fixes the problem. The other thing, Ed said it, just uninstall it.
You know, I went through this with some of the
but
Norton
you have to uninstall, not delete.
Yeah, right. I went through this with some of the Norton products. I've been for a long time using Norton's, what was it?
So, Foster.
And I'm
that,
at...
That
at
was the, 15 years ago.
I know.
You got to give it up.
Okay, and I'm looking at IOBIT, it's IOBIT Malware Fighter, and you're right, it makes your PC faster, it's anti-malware, it updates your driver, and it cleans your PC.
And you might just want to reinstall over the top, and it might just fix any corruption that you might have in a file.
And I'm not familiar with the product. I don't know. I'm sure it's legitimate. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of great utilities yep. out there that just, you know, have a very narrow focus and are good at it. I'm just not familiar with this product.
Yeah.
But if you're experiencing the problem, and if it's something, was it purchased or was it a free product?
It was purchased and downloaded online.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I recall in one of your previous shows that it had been a while. I've been lax in trying to solve this problem. I've just been living with rebooting from mm-hmm. a power-up. That I thought you'd talked to someone with a similar problem, mm-hmm. and that there was a fix through the registry or control panel, one of those avenues for PCs that would not wake up.
I do vaguely recall something like that from an older program, but for right now, I think unless we get something else brought to our attention, that the uninstalling it completely might be your best try right now. And then if you want, you've got the license, right?
Right.
And you've got the registration. If you wanted, doesn't sound like you would ever want to, but if you would want to reinstall, then you might be better off doing that. In other words,
yeah,
something's gone haywire now.
Yeah.
Completely uninstall it, flush the system. And then if you want to...
And then concentrate on what's going on. Is it refusing to wake up from sleep? Is it refusing to shut down? Is it crashing? And once you remove the software, then we could start looking at what are the symptoms now.
And there are some great posts out there. I just put IOBIT won't wake up. And there's some great posts in tech support forum of what to do, and other people are having the same problem.
So IOBIT... Okay. Won't wake up. That may help you as well. Take care.
And, all right.
Let us know when if you do get a solution to that.
Yeah, there's step-by-step instructions.
A word of thanks to Mike Stats and to Logan Statifer for helping to make things happen behind the glass. Thank you so much, folks. And don't forget that on Sunday nights, I'll be publishing the show notes from this first hour, and we'll have all the information about that Lighthouse on Man program, the movie, and also about Play Bigger, the book by Dave Peterson, and about category design. They'll all be posted up there with links for you. And then you'll also be able to listen to some of the answers that we gave to the questions in this second hour of our program as well. And by the way, a quick hello to all of those of you listening to us on our affiliates in Lansing and Battle Creek and Grand Rapids and the Muskegon area. Thank you for making us part of your listening pleasure on the weekends. All right, Gary and Ed, let's get back to answering some lines quickly as people are doing what I wish you would call in earlier so we can get you all on the air. Ron from Commerce Township. What may we do for you, Ron? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. I have a HP wide format printer that all of a sudden I get an error message where it says the print head appears to be missing, not detected, incorrectly installed, or incompatible.
Really? So this is a wide format printer,
right?
And it is an inkjet that uses cartridges or a laser? I'm sorry.
Cartridges.
Okay. Is it an HP manufactured cartridge or a third party?
Yes.
It is.
I just use the HP in it.
Okay.
And I've tried turning it on and off. I've tried turning the computer on and off. I've tried reloading the cartridges, and I've even deleted the driver and reinstalled the drivers.
Okay, how new of a printer this is? And the reason why I'm asking is sometimes with HP printers, a lot of them now have a display, an LCD type of display that you can start use setup diagnostics, that type of thing.
Right.
So
but it doesn't seem to go past the error message. It's an older printer.
Okay.
I'd say I've had it for about 2 or 3 years.
That's not very old.
No, no. And it should have a website. But isn't there a web address, too, usually for each of the printers?
Yes. So is your printer connected USB, or is it networked.
Wireless.
Wireless.
USB.
But now, does it support a wired connection or wireless?
Wired.
Oh, good. One thing that you might want to try, because obviously what you're doing is you're relying on the print driver software provided by HP on your connected USB, which is wonderful. But I have found with print with these newer printers that they actually have a web address. They have web interface on them that you can open up a browser. So if you can use your installation media to set it up so that it connects wirelessly to your network, then you when you print your the diagnostic page or the configuration page for your printer, it'll give it the address. Your printer is 192.168.1.113, as an example. That's the address. You can go to your PC and type in that address, and then you have a your web printer page. Actually has a web interface that you can then might be able to glean some further information out of.
Right.
One thing that's strange is, when I look up on my HP support assistant, it gives me the serial number of the printer, but it's not the serial number of the one that I have. It's a different one. Now, I used to have one of these before, and I took my to my office, and then I replaced the one here at home, which are exactly the same printer, but I don't know what the serial number is for the one at the office.
You know, you might want to... Well, I'm not sure what's causing the error, but you might want to uninstall the HP software and reinstall it again from, you know, either downloading a brand new copy of the of that printer installation or rerunning the setup that shipped with it.
What operating system are you running, Ron?
Windows 7.
Yeah, well, I would just you know, delete the printer. Have you tried it? Just deleting the printer?
Delete the printer and then going into programming features and uninstalling the HP. You know, there'll be five programs that HP installs on there for that printer. Not only the drivers, but and remove it all. And as Gary says, shut down and reboot afterwards. And then try to set it up again. This is a very strange problem that your printer's basically saying, you know, that it can't find the printhead. Now,
I've been using it. It's been working fine. But
how about when you have the printer disconnected? And you're looking at the numeric or the LCD display. Do you have the ability for it to do a self test at all, or?
I don't know. I've never done anything like that before.
Well, usually you have the ability to hit the up arrows and menu, and you should be able to have it do a print configuration page, print font.
Does it have
page.
An LED screen on the front of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think Ed's referring to. I have a little an HP PhotoSmart. And has an LED screen on it, and it has diagnostics on it. And I got that about 2-3 years ago.
Right.
And it's a great place to go. You run the diagnostic, and the sheet will tell you exactly what is or isn't working.
Yeah, but unless it's giving him the error that basically says, if that LCD display says that you don't have a printer, I mean, that your print head is gone.
Yeah, the LCD display on that says exactly the same thing as read on my computer,
I am tempted to think then that there is an actual physical damage then to the print head. Would you think, Ed?
Yeah, or contamination on the on the electrical connections when you plug it in. Right. We used to use alcohol or isopropylene to clean it up. For the electrical connections when you dock it, there's that copper sided that has all those little minuscule.
Yep. Yep.
Connections.
Yep.
Have you got the old print heads you can just throw in there? At least it might say out of ink rather than no print head, right?
Oh, you mean some old printers?
Cartridges,
actually, I have some of the old ones. I haven't turned them in yet.
Yeah, you might want to try that and see if you can force it to give the old error message, which is like out of toner.
Okay.
That way you can actually isolate to the problem of going, okay, it must be the print head or, it's not my printer. It's the print cartridge.
Ed, do you know, are the print heads on the print cartridges or are they separate from the print cartridges?
HPs are.
I couldn't tell you what.
Well, I think Ed knows. Go ahead.
Well, I believe the print heads are on the print with the ink.
With the cartridge.
With the cartridge. And that's what's nice.
Yep. Yep.
Because I told you the story. I bought Canons with my kids, and over the summer, the ink dried up. Because with Canons, they sell ink replacements, and the heads are always the same, so they dried up. So,
but one thing that's strange is in the error message, it actually mentions that all the colors printheads are missing or failed. Yeah. You know, it doesn't just show one or two. It shows all four cartridges.
Wow. Did you sneeze when you put those in? Or I'm just wondering. I mean, it almost sounds like there's a short in there. Like it's yeah. either the printer's gone bad.
It's yep. called planned obsolescence, right?
Well, 3 years old. It could be.
No, but not that young. I wouldn't say that. That's fairly young still for a printer. I mean, I've had ones wrong with the printer for a long, long time. We're guessing it's a mechanical problem. It sounds like it's connected to the cartridges.
Yeah, I might try the old cartridges.
Pull out these cartridges, put the old ones in, and see if you still have the problem.
Right, and if you do, I think your printer's gone. And I mean, I don't know what to say.
Yep. Okay, well, there aren't that many people that do wide format printers anymore.
I know, and then HP should be able to do some help with the troubleshooting on that. But again, okay. we're suspecting that the problem is with the print heads. And there may be a forum out there, for instance, on AP that can help you with HP that can help you with that. But
okay.
We run out of time right now. Send us an email. Let us know how this goes for you, okay? Thanks so much for calling. And by the way, for the rest of you folks out there who are calling in, there's Ron and Clausen and some of the other folks who are calling in. Simply go to internetadvisor.net and look for the Contact Us button that's on the top. And send us an email or go to the bottom of the page there and there's a comment section. You can put your question in there and give us your email address and we'll get to working on that as quickly as we possibly can. Thanks again to all of you there, Gary, and to Ed for being here. And the next time around, please, folks, call in a little earlier so we can get to your questions. Well, thank you very much for calling in and for helping us. Luke from Brooklyn, sorry we couldn't get to you. We'll try to do that through email. My name is Foster Brown, and on behalf of our crew here, thank you so much for making this a special weekend, and we'll see you back here again, once again, on the Internet Advisor next Saturday.